Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast, now seeking sponsorships.
No, we're not.
We're not. Just kidding. But if we were,
then we would be.
Then we would be. But we're not. So you're Julia Monin. I'm Father Sean Wilson.
Yes.
And
this is Darting Through the Faith. You said that. Yeah.
It is Darting Through the Faith podcast.
Right. New week.
It is a new week.
Almost.
This will be relessed.
Relessed. It will be relessed in Lent.
Relessed in Lent.
It will be Lent by the time this episode is relessed. So that is good to know.
Yeah.
What are we working on this Lent?
We are working on our holiness, our growth in holiness through prayer. This is going to be a long episode for everybody. Mostly everybody. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
Okay.
That's what we're working on.
Yes.
In our parishes, in a specific way, we're focusing on silence, right? Silence being the context of prayer, right? It's the place where we make room for prayer, silence. Mm-hmm. So, and even if you're at Mass or anything, if you read the daily readings for Ash Wednesday, you know, Jesus talks about going into the inner room to pray. So we go into that place where it's just us and the Lord, and silence helps that, makes that possible.
I'm so excited about this parish-wide initiative.
Me too.
I'm pumped up.
Me too.
Beautiful, beautiful to remind us of the importance of this, to encourage us to make it a part of our life.
Yeah.
The whole 14 for 40, 14 minutes a day.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that.
Right. I had somebody reach out to me yesterday, and this is just funny, and he meant it as like a, like kind of like a gentle ribbing. He said, you know, 1,460 minutes in the day. So like 14.6 rounds up to 15. Like 1% is technically like, you know, 14% or 15. And he was kind of just like jesting and poking and I'll get you.
Right.
But
who was sitting around your table when and not taking the rounding rules into consideration?
Well, I knew the rounding rules, but 14 for 40.
Sounds better.
And having 14, like the not kind of normal number makes it stick out, I think, just a little bit more, right? Like 14, right? Because there's always like 15 minutes of exercise or 15 minutes of reading.
Sure.
But like 14, just like the fact that it's not a normal number you talk about in amount of time, right?
Unless you're my husband, because he talks like that all the time.
Really?
We'll be leaving in, we'll be leaving at 12:26.
Oh,
okay. It's never like
never just a normal
quarter
number.
Of an hour number.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, yes, so, I do like that. Yeah, it's different, sets it apart.
And it sounds 14 for 40.
Sounds
right?
great.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, in your own life of prayer, when did some sort of like habitual level of silence become part of your life of prayer?
Yeah, probably the seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, what, 19, 20?
Mm-hmm. And it makes it dramatic, right? Like in terms of... I pray every day to...
I say some prayers every day versus I pray.
I spend time in prayer
every day. Spend time in prayer. Yeah.
Yeah, there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all, well, most of us, especially as young people, we're taught our vocal prayers. We're taught how to pray. So we say our prayers, we know how to pray before meals, when we get up, before we go to bed. We know how to say prayers.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, that does have to become a little bit more mature in that, like, what does it actually mean to spend time in prayer?
Yeah. So, like, prayers can lead to prayer.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's exciting.
So, it's a parish initiative this Lent to focus on silence in the life of prayer.
I don't know why. I was just
running.
Initiative. Taking initiative.
I like it.
Doing it to it.
I like it. It's beautiful. Good. What else?
Well, what else? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's pretty much, you know, Lent is upon us. It's exciting.
It is exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always challenging, but always good. Yep. Good.
So
good. Well, you're back from vacation. I'm back from vacation.
Yeah. It's been a while for me. By that I mean like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but
it's only just been a week for me, but I feel like it was an eternity ago.
Yeah. That's the way vacation seems to go, you know? Yeah. It's just like, wow, what just happened?
Back and you get in the ground running and you're like, was I gone?
Right.
I don't recall that time, but it was good and beautiful and fruitful and
good
time away with the family and
yeah.
good to be back.
Highlight of vacation. What was a highlight?
The most embarrassing part of vacation. Can I share that? It was not the highlight.
You can.
You said highlight, and I thought the opposite.
You want to share that?
What was the most horrifying?
Teeing that up, though. Just
I
know
you weren't, but yeah. Well, my husband and I had a day where we went to Universal Studios, just the two of us. My parents. We went to visit my parents who were down there. They watched our son, so we could have a day to go to a park and actually ride rides that weren't like trains that just went around a very slow track type of thing. So anyway, that was great. But it fell on the day that I was scheduled to be on the radio, which I do the first, fourth, and fifth Mondays of the month. And these are live shows that I call in from my phone, always call in from my phone. Well, recently I do. So I've done them while we're traveling before. Not a big deal. I just work it into the schedule. Call in while I'm in the car, whatever, but just timed it incredibly terrible. Could not have timed it worse. And at the time it was for me to call in was while we were being herded like cows through a sea of hundreds of people to go through security and get into the park. Mm. And so was live from Universal Studios.
It's Julia Monin.
In the sea of hundreds of people.
Yeah.
With nowhere to go. And it got even worse when I had to go through security and put my phone in through the security.
That's so awesome.
Had to take a little 2-minute break. Apologetically the whole time, absolutely 100% sure nothing I said made any coherent sense at all, except I laughed about it and said maybe use it as dramatic effect of the Lord withdraws intentionally from the crowd to go pray, and here's why. This is very difficult to remain focused on what I'm supposed to be doing in the midst of this chaos and noise.
What a great lesson.
And sea of craziness. Yeah. And by the way, I've got to go through security, so I'll be back with you in a couple minutes, or I'll try. Okay, well, that was fun. Are you still there? I assume. And it was terrible, but I laughed about it and told my husband I'm definitely getting fired, to which he said, you're definitely going to get your pay cut. it's a volunteer role. But either way, it wasn't a highlight in terms of our time together as a family, but I'm still laughing about it.
It's probably the story you've told the most since you've been back.
Absolutely. Because it was not good. It was that not good.
Yeah.
It was not good.
That's great.
Maybe I'll think about seeing if I can find a sub next time I'm on vacation.
Sure.
Or timing things way better. But anyway, that was fun. Or something.
It was something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Could have been tragic.
I mean, worst case scenario, something goes bad, the connection gets lost, and they like play music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm not in control of that. There's somebody behind the scenes that doing all that fancy stuff. But
yeah.
Anyway, but it was good. And I will say we are staying with my parents and there was a dog park very close by.
Mm.
And so on several occasions I got to see fenced in dogs and dogmas, which absolutely I was laughing about the ridiculousness of all of that.
The mother dogs, huh?
The mother dogs fenced in, running around, doing what dogs do.
That's right. Happy.
So anyway, that's just a shout out to our last episode that got all sorts of crazy and laughter up in here. But other than that, not too much going on in the Monastery at the moment.
Nice.
So,
do people know that you call your home the Monastery? Or did you just drop that in there?
I don't know. I feel like I've said that before on here. Have I said it before, Grace? Yeah. Somebody called our house that once. I thought it was very clever. So I'm going to stick with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
You should get a yard sign for that.
At least something when you walk into the house.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know what people put in real monasteries when you walk into the monastery. But
abandon something. I was going to say abandon all hope, but that was something else.
Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's in like Dante's Inferno. So
okay. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I caught myself.
That's funny. Like, oh. Okay, right. Well, you know, that's that.
We should, let's get started.
Let's do. Stick.
Let me pull my foot out of my mouth real quick. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for the gift of our faith. We ask that you may always keep us rooted deeply in the faith. We pray for all of those who are listening to this podcast, all of those who are struggling in their faith and struggling with particular aspects of their faith. We ask that you may help us to trust you in a deeper way this day. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Speaking of amen. This is what we are talking about today in our very short selection of readings, paragraphs 1061 to 1065. Amen.
Amen.
That's what this section is. So where are we at in the catechism here?
The end of the creed. So the creed is the first section of the catechism. The creed ends with the words amen. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, as they were editing the catechism, if they're like, you know what? We should do a section on the amen. Mm-hmm. And somebody's like, really? And this is all just my imagination. Sure. I don't know if this is how it helped, if, how it happened. But it's a little surprising, right? You think about all the other sections of the catechism. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It's like, all right, yeah, we should talk about that. Mm-hmm. Amen. But that's what we got.
Mm-hmm. It's like, is there anything there? Actually, yes.
Yeah, we could say something about that.
Absolutely, we could. So the creed, like the last book of the Bible, ends with the Hebrew word amen. How do you pronounce this in Hebrew, by the way?
I don't know. I honestly don't okay. know Hebrew. But in my head, I think it's something like amen.
Okay.
You know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's right.
Okay.
But it's probably not exactly how we do in English, and that's okay.
Yes. This word frequently concludes prayers in the New Testament. The church likewise ends her prayers with amen.
Right.
Yep. Not news to us, probably.
Right. Even when you chant it, sometimes we were talking about this before the podcast and our little pre-show meeting that we do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Meeting.
Pre-production meeting, yes. They're always very...
Yeah. We normally chant, amen, right? So it's more of an amen.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear both in English.
Mm-hmm. Right. In Hebrew, amen comes from the same root as the word believe. There's a fun fact. Mm-hmm. This root expresses... Pronounce that for me, will you?
Solidity.
Solidity. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Trustworthiness, faithfulness. And so we can understand why amen may express both God's faithfulness towards us and our trust in him.
Right. So it's almost like renewing the covenant. So this this one word that we end, we say, okay, God's going to be faithful to this prayer that we make. So we end with amen. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be faithful to the prayer that we make. Mm. So we say amen. So it's about this belief and this solidity that we know that God has, and we are hoping that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his faithfulness towards us, our trust in him. Like this word, yeah.
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 That's faith is the relationship with the Lord.
In the book of the prophet Isaiah, we find the expression God of truth, literally God of the amen. That is the God who is faithful to his promises. He who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lord often used the word amen, sometimes repeated, to emphasize the trustworthiness of his teaching, his authority founded on God's truth.
So you think something along the lines of, amen, amen, I say to you. And then you just go on. You think the Sermon on the Mount is filled with that phrase. Mm-hmm. And it's often to bring emphasis, right? Anytime you hear Jesus say, amen, amen, I say to you, whenever you did this to one of the least brethren of mine, you did it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's in there. It's really highlighting something. You hear Jesus say, amen, amen, in the gospel. It's like, perk your ears up.
Yep.
Not that anything he says is unimportant,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus is giving particular emphasis to this.
Mm-hmm. And actually, if you pull out Matthew chapter 6, talking about Lent and prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and taking on these Lenten practices. That's one of the examples that the catechism gives us here is Matthew chapter 6. And this is the section on Jesus teaching us about almsgiving, about prayer, and about fasting.
Right.
And in each of these, in this Matthew 6, he's using this. Amen, right. Amen. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. So that's him talking about almsgiving, for example. So we get that in all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
So again, as we are beginning this season of Lent, might be good to pull out Matthew chapter 6 to think about this word, amen, how we get this from the Lord Jesus, and then how it ties into these practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Mm-hmm.
And so the catechism even notes like he uses this word amen, amen, to show the trustworthiness of the teaching. So how important it is. So it's almost as if he's saying like, believe this,
mm-hmm.
you know, whenever you pray, go to your inner room or whatever it may be. Whoever has, two cloaks, give them away. So amen, amen, I say to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen, I say, Yeah. And this is all him saying, amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. Amen. Mm-hmm. This isn't why we do these things, to be patted on the back or to show others how good we are or whatever it might be. So, okay. All right. Continuing in 1064 then. Thus, the creed's final amen repeats and confirms its first words, I believe. Okay. That's something to pause on. So we begin the creed, I believe in God. And then mm-hmm. we say this amen at the end. It's like us confirming that and ending with that it's like again.
Bookmark or a bookend. Mm-hmm. We begin and end with the belief. Mm-hmm. So that's what the creed is saying. I believe this. Mm-hmm. And so we start with saying, I believe this. And we end by saying, I believe this. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Amen. To believe is to say amen to God's words, promises, and commandments, to entrust oneself completely to Him who is the amen of infinite love and perfect faithfulness. The Christian's everyday life will then be the amen to the I believe of our baptismal profession of faith. That gives us pause too, to like to think about the way we live our lives is in a way our response to of saying amen. Right? So to our baptismal promises. So we make these promises. We're baptized into the faith. We're confirmed in the faith. And the way we live is like saying amen to that, to those promises. Again, going back to that give and take, that the Lord is faithful and I trust in that faithfulness.
Right. Mm-hmm. And even so, our activities are the response to that. So the love that we have. So to entrust oneself completely to Him who is the amen of the infinite love and perfect faithfulness. So the Christian's everyday life will be the amen. So all that we do is a response to what we receive in the creed. So there's like this connection between what we believe and how we live. Mm-hmm. Because our actions are in some ways the living out of saying, I believe this to be true, that God became man and emptied Himself out of love for us. So because I believe this to be true, I live in a certain way.
Yes.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get some beautiful words there from St. Augustine then.
I know.
May your creed be for you as a mirror. Look at yourself in it to see if you believe everything you say you believe. And rejoice in your faith each day.
The mirror.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I love that.
Uh-huh.
Like, do you in yourself, do you see the creed? Mm-hmm. Right? Do you live the way you profess? And yeah, the mirrors are always interesting. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I actually look like that. And spiritually, it's almost like, oh, I actually live that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whether we do or we don't, you know? Like, because sometimes we think like, oh, I'm not doing very well. And it's like, actually, you're probably further than you think. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the vice versa.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. You showed us like the most adorable video of your niece earlier in front of a mirror, like talking to herself.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it's all we're saying.
The mirror had to come up,
and all I am seeing of her is
telling herself that there's a puppy.
Poppy? Did you see the puppy? Poppy? Mm-hmm. Just trying to convince this person she's seeing in the mirror.
Yeah.
That there's a puppy. And have you seen this puppy?
Right.
Oh my gosh, too adorable. Okay, and then 1065, Jesus Christ Himself is the Amen. He is the definitive Amen of the Father's love for us. He takes up and completes our amen to the Father. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why we utter the amen through Him to the glory of God.
Yeah. So and then it quotes the doxology, so the closing of the Eucharistic prayers, right? Mm-hmm. So through Him, with Him, in Him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Mm-hmm. So this offering of the Father. So he's the yes, the answer to the Father, right? Mm-hmm. So it's in Christ that that basically the whole world is gathered into Christ to have the response to the Father to say amen. So we join in His amen, His statement, His acts of belief in this offering of return to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So for all the promises of God find their yes in Him.
It's all leading to Him. It's all pointing to Him. It's all fulfilled in Him. It's all coming to birth through Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And leading us back to the Father, right? And Christ, that's the direction He takes us.
Mm-hmm. Through Him, with Him, in Him. Right. Okay. That might be the shortest section we've ever covered on this.
I believe it to be so.
You believe, amen.
Yeah.
I believe it to be so. I think we've had sections that have only been four paragraphs, but they were like really long.
Yeah.
Paragraphs.
This was not.
And
that's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. It is good to think about that because, you know, as we talked about when we were talking about the Lenten practices and growing in that life of prayer and inviting silence in, when you learn those vocal prayers, obviously you're ending your prayers probably with amen. So it's something that you become used to, that you maybe don't think of, you know, just like praying the Our Father. You don't think about what it is that you're actually saying, or a Hail Mary or whatever. So how those, that word, amen, will just roll off your lips without you actually thinking about that reality.
Right.
Or even when we're receiving our Lord in Holy Communion and taking that time to respond to the body of Christ. Amen. The blood of Christ. Amen. This isn't just a word that we should just be taking lightly.
Right. Because sometimes even our vocal prayers, it's like, all right, that's the wrap up word. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's almost like goodbye. Mm-hmm. All right. Till we speak next time, Lord.
So it's more than that.
It is. And saying, I firmly believe this to be true. It's not like a, this is the end. It's a, so seal it.
Mm-hmm.
So, amen.
Beautiful. So I'm glad it's in here.
Me too. Thanks, Catechism editors.
Thank you, Catechism. So again, as you begin your journey through Lent, perhaps consider pulling out Matthew chapter 6, especially since this was a little bit shorter episode, you have time to do that.
Yeah.
Wonder about prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Think about how important the Lord is encouraging us that this is the reason we do this, not to be pat on the back or anything like that. So that's good. Great. All right, where are we going?
Somewhere. Not there, though.
Ooh, that was really close. Yeah. Is that where you're aiming, though, that one right above it?
No, I was aiming one to the right and then two down.
Whoop. Oh,
that was close too.
I'm going to call that good. You're on the line between the two.
We've never called on the line between the two before.
All right, throw
Let's not start.
All right. All right. There it is. Right in the middle. Just wanted to do that. He just
28:28 to 28:45, petitions 4 and 5 of the Our Father.
Ooh.
So we're in the Our Father.
So speaking of vocal prayers that have so much depth and meaning, that often, but we need to pay attention to what we're praying.
Right.
We're going to the Our Father next week.
Petitions 4 and 5.
That'll be great.
28:28 to 28:45.
Perfect. And like the rest of this episode, the scripture I have to close in is short as well. As this mentioned in the opening paragraph, the creed, like the last book of the Bible, ends with the Hebrew word amen. So just reading the end of the book of Revelation here, chapter 22, verses 20 through 21. The one who gives this testimony says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all.